cybersecurity, it's lots of things. It isn't just the technology that you put in place. It's how a business needs to, one, protect itself, which people are starting to do, which is great, but there's more to do there. But also it's about how you recover when an incident happens. And sometimes people forget about that second one. And it's about the people, the process, and the technology. It's not just about the technology. And sorry, I know I keep going on about that, but so many people think, yes, once I install this brilliant cybersecurity system, which companies need to do as well, we can forget about it, because all it takes is someone to click that link in your organization and then someone's got the keys to get in.
Welcome to Bite Size, a series where we highlight innovation across transport, mobility, and smart cities, and meet the people that are making it happen. My name is Emily Bobbis. I'm a road intelligence startup founder, and my goal is to combat the stigma that transport is uncool, uninteresting, and uninspired. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today.
No worries.
I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm Charlie Hills. I've been in tech and cyber for as long as I can remember. A bit older than most females in the tech industry, so it's something I've been in for over 20 years now. And it's always been a passion of mine, you know, figuring something out, understanding it in detail, and then understanding how that can be applied to something to make something better. It's something that sort of has always given me that drive. And you'll tell from my accent, I'm originally from the UK as well. So I moved over a few years ago now to set up Waterstones Pty. I've worked for Waterstones, though, as a group for over 10 years now, which has been good. Joined as a techie. They don't let me touch the tech as much anymore. I talk about it. I've got much cleverer people that work for me that do that now. But yeah, that's something. I mean, and obviously there's the general, my family and my kids, of course, that obviously are very passionate about too, love them to bits. And they've really, really supported me in making sure that I can actually, you know, have a great career and grow something like Waterstones, which has been brilliant. But from a tech and a cyber point of view, it's not just purely the tech. It's understanding how that can be used to improve things, whether it's improving businesses, improving new things that are being developed, you know, your smart cars, your technology, things like that, and making sure that that's thought about from the start and it's talking to people about these things and making sure that, you know, there's that collaboration there and things are getting pulled together.
So maybe just taking one step back a little bit, could you tell us a little bit more about Waterstones and maybe the problems that it's attempting to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said before, I mean, it's all about solving business problems. We've got really clever tech, cybersecurity sector specialists, but they're not that I'm dissing any techies, but they're not just techies. They can talk to people, they can understand problems, they can consult and really, really get to understand the business, and they can really innovate as well. We really build the best people so that they can think outside the box. So it's not your rinse and repeat of everything. It's right, okay, customer A is designing this new smart building. They want to really think about what they need to include in that from a cyber point of view. And then they will understand the process of the building and the whole design aspect behind that to work together to collaborate on coming up with what the right solution is overall. I mean, that's just one example. It can be anything. You know, a business is worried about their IT as well. We do IT as well, cybersecurity, and it's taking the worry away. They can forget about keeping the lights on. They can forget about, you know, their cybersecurity worries and things like that. It's helping partner with them to give them the best outcomes at the end of the day.
Lovely. There's something you said in there about smart cities that I am desperate to unpack, but I'll hold off a little bit. Jump ahead in my questions. I'm too excited. This might sound like a bit of a silly question to ask, but just for the sake of people listening, what is cybersecurity? I think a lot of people have an idea of what it is, but what does it encompass? What's involved? Any statistics around the industry that can provide a little bit of context?
Yeah, absolutely. So cybersecurity, it's lots of things. It isn't just the technology that you put in place. It's how a business needs to, one, protect itself, which people are starting to do, which is great, but there's more to do there. But also it's about how you recover when an incident happens. And sometimes people forget about that second one. Unfortunately, the way it is these days, it's not if you get attacked, and that can be in any type of forms. There's millions of forms. It's individuals getting spammed and clicking links and then their data getting stolen. It's whole companies getting attacked with ransomware. We've seen so many in the news at the moment. There's the new one.
Was it Medibank?
Yes, Medibank. They were hacked a few days ago, and they basically initially said that they don't believe anything's happened, but obviously they're investigating, and today it's all over the news that loads of customer data is being breached and the hackers are holding them to ransom, or saying that they're going to send personal, private credit card and health information to high profile individuals to prove they've got the information. So it can happen on any level these days. It's anything from individuals to big companies. But as I say, it's not just the protect, it's how you recover from that. And that's not just, again, from a technical point of view, restoring what you do. It's anything through from, that's how you go about protecting it for in your communications, how that happens, how your whole business is going to respond to that. And it's not just, it's about the people, the process and the technology. It's not just about the technology. And sorry, I know I keep going on about that, but so many people think, yes, once I install this brilliant cybersecurity system, which companies need to do as well, we can forget about it, because all it takes is someone to click that link in your organization, and then someone's got the keys to get in, no matter what technology you've got in place. And some stats obviously mentioned there. I mean, one stat that came out recently that is quite an eye-opener, and this is across everything, not just big companies, but there's an attack in Australia every 11 seconds in 2022. Wow. So that's where some personal's getting hacked, some ransomware's happening. And I mean, we've seen in the news, there's been massive ones in the last week. There's been the Medibank one, there's been Optus, so that everyone will be aware of. That's sort of taken over the news, and some of these other ones are getting a little less notification. But even the AFP were hacked as well a little while ago, and that was quite a serious breach too. So it's more and more, but it's not just the big companies getting breached. Another stat that came out not so long ago, 43% of SMEs have had some type of ransomware in the last year as well, and that's on the up. From 2021 to 2022, there's been an 84% rise in cyber attacks, and that's continuing to grow. That's just the first half of this year, and as we see, we're hearing about it more and more.
It can be a little bit doom and gloom sounding when everyone's, particularly I think everyone's thinking back, I've noticed at least in the last, no idea if these are related, in the last couple of months or since really the COVID lockdowns, I've been getting a lot of spam messages about like everyone was getting those for a period of time in waves. There was the Visa calls that were in Mandarin, and then there was the your package hasn't been delivered, click this link.
Yes.
I've noticed there's been a severe uptake. I don't know whether that's because I've just put more of my personal information down on bills and things like that, and then it's been siphoned out.
It's a bit of both. I mean, there's your personal information, we all know, is out there all over. You have to be a total hermit and not use any type of social media for nothing to be out there. So people pick things up from there, and they can find you. And if they find a company that they're after, they'll usually target an individual at that company, you know, doing their recon beforehand to sort of get in. But I suppose I don't want it to all come across doom and gloom. There are easy steps people can put in place. I mean, you were talking there about how you knew there was spam. It's just education around that, so people know what to look for. You can run simulations and stuff and training, and it doesn't have to be boring training. A lot of training people do a bit of gamification around it these days, you know, and make it a bit fun or win prizes and things like that, and then people really get involved. So it doesn't all have to be doom and gloom, and it absolutely is things that people can protect themselves from.
So I'm glad you've mentioned that, because it is a great transition to the next question, which is, what are we actually getting right in Australia when it comes to cybersecurity, to kind of push it back in that like positive spin?
Definitely. Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about it. That's one of the biggest things. Mm. A lot of, historically, people go, oh, it's not a problem. I don't need to worry about it. It's not happened to me. People are talking about it more. It's in the news. People are saying, how do I protect myself? There's lots of information readily available out online. So companies like ourselves push things out, but also the Australian Signals Directorate, they will readily put information out. Everyone's readily trying to share that information to help people. Businesses and people who are innovating new tech are realizing that they need to think about this as well. So they're trying to build that in from the start. Not everyone, but thankfully a lot of good organizations are doing that, to sort of realize that this is a company-wide problem as well. It's not just a tech or an IT problem that they need to deal with. It is something that board members, innovators, designers need to build in and plan, and thankfully everyone gets that. But in recent times as well, and this is very recent with the Optus attack, government's looking to put some policies in place to mandate these things. Hmm. That is something we've lagged on for a little while. This doesn't need to be red tape everyone needs to be scared of. This is stuff that, simple things that can be put in to protect their business. I'd imagine they're going, I mean, obviously no one's got a crystal ball. I'd imagine they're only going to mandate it on certain types of companies as well. Mm. But every company should try and get the basics right. A lot of people who are innovating new things, new technology. So a couple of the things we've been doing is working with people designing new tech, new systems, new architecture, whatever, and thinking, you know what, how do we build this in from the start? We're working with one of our partners, a company called Kundal, about how smart buildings work and how they can make sure cybersecurity's in from the start, and the architects they use and things like that, which is great. So it's there's partnerships as well. It's not, you know, we want to do it and it's only kept with us. It's working together on this problem to try and make it better for everybody.
Kind of goes nicely to the next question with this idea of partnerships, particularly in smart cities. So like, as you mentioned, there was Optus, which is now old news because the internet moves very fast. And there was Medibank, and I'm sure there'll be another one next week sometime. On the back of a widespread event like that, where are the opportunities to improve cybersecurity, particularly in smart cities and transport and infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll split them up a little bit. So smart cities first. So, I mean, smart cities, if you think about it, it's all about automation and building things into buildings and how people move around to be automated and intelligent. And obviously technology manages a lot of that. There's a lot less human interaction, and where you build in technology and where there's lots of data, that's when that needs to be protected. So if you think about it, CCTV is used. That's not new tech, that's old tech. But then that can be used to provide more information about how people move around environments and things like that. But unfortunately, that's one of the technologies that is most vulnerable to attacks, because people don't think about that when they think about what you need to protect. But then again, a lot of them can be accessible externally for, you know, security companies to monitor them. And I mean, physical security providers and things like that. There's a lot more getting built into smart buildings around, you know, environmental factors, you know, the whole ESG movement, and what you need to do around that. And automating, for example, windows opening when it gets too hot and things. And again, these aren't groundbreaking ideas, but all of these are just examples to say all this data is collected to then manage a building. There's door access control systems as well. And this is something that people think of out of movies and stuff, from even years ago. But hackers can breach building security. They can gain access and control of all these data. And if they really wanted to hold someone or a building or a company to ransom, they could lock doors, you know, change data, so they get massive fines for providing the wrong information. And also they'll hold a lot of personal and individual data as well. I don't know if many people have seen the TV program Hunted, you know, when someone they're trying to run away from people and things like that. They pull data from all kinds of systems externally to find these people. CCTV, when they use cards, when they move around, when they've accessed buildings, anything like that. So that's actually a real world example of how people are using that information now to track people. And I mean, when it comes to transport, smart vehicles are a thing that's coming along, building into the infrastructure, smart roads, so these smart vehicles can work, smart parking, traffic management, everything around that. Again, that's masses of data, and it's all, a lot of that can be accessible from the internet. You know, smart cars have internet access built in them in case they have an accident and things like that. And again, linking it to a movie people may or may not have seen, but you know, you've got, I think it was one of the Fast and Furious movies, maybe 8 or something like that, where there was these hackers controlling these vehicles to stop people escaping and things. And I'm not saying that's going to happen everywhere, but that's an extreme version of people need to think about these things and put the security in place, because all this tech's great that's coming along, absolutely brilliant. So it's just making sure we've got the right protection and controls in place before it goes live, for want of a better word.
It was really funny when you're talking about movies, and like the first one that came to mind, I can't remember the movie, but it was like HAL 9000. And it's just like, I'm sorry, I can't let you do that. Like that, that kind of, the kind of building becoming sentient. Or yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Some kind of consciousness.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just like, that's a perfect example of where these ideas, I suppose, have been around for years. But now, as this tech's becoming available and people are innovating and putting in these smart cities, smart infrastructure, it's where the risks come. I mean, you know, it's modern warfare as well, you know. Mm. Now, if we went to war with anyone, touch wood, that never happens, but countries that are at war, it's cyber warfare that happens. They try to take out the infrastructure. And as we make that smarter, more data available there, more internet access and things like that, it does make us vulnerable to those things. I mean, it's why they do it. You know, take power plants down or brings a city and a country to its knees. So it's definitely something. I'm going doom and gloom again. I don't want to do that. We can do this. We can fix this. It doesn't need to be a problem. The fact we talk about it, the fact we know it could be an issue and people do it, is the fact I think people are protecting themselves from it, and the government and others and companies and innovators are building this in from the start because they realize that we need to protect for things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of gave an example earlier of like using cameras and stuff like that. Is that an example of maybe a common cybersecurity attack that you might see in a smart city environment?
Usually what happens is they'll either gain personal data somewhere, so like from an individual. So say, for example, if they were looking at Waterstones, thankfully, hopefully no one's going to do this, but they'd look for someone like me, managing director, they'd try and get my credentials or one of our techs, our admins, so that they could gain access to something they were trying to get. Alternatively, and this happens, and while this is just an opinion, it isn't necessarily fact, but for example, with Optus, I believe the hacker found a vulnerability that had been around for a while, just stumbled across it, and it was more opportunistic. And that actually is a really high volume of attacks that we see. So for example, a CCTV system is online, company hasn't realized that's vulnerable, hackers just been scanning looking for stuff, and if you scan actually New South Wales network, there are quite a lot of vulnerabilities out there, which is scary. And I don't just mean tens, I mean in the hundreds of thousands. So they stumble across these vulnerability and they just sort of scratched it, think, oh, that's interesting, what can I find? Turns out the CCTV system has internal access, is on the network, they can then gain access to other things on that network. They find data, and usually when someone's breached or hacked, it's not the first time they've been in. So they do their recon, I suppose, want of another word. They then go from there and create an attack accordingly.
It does remind me actually of there's been a couple of internal ones that we've received as a company where they've taken the name of myself or my co-founder, and they've sent an email set up with our name, completely different email, asking our staff member to give them their mobile number because we've asked for it for something to do with like WhatsApp. They're like, oh, I've lost your number. Can you give me your WhatsApp? And it's like just the details that give it away. And it just shows like all you need to do is just be maybe slightly tired and accidentally not read an email properly. And then that's like that little entry, that keyhole entry point.
Yeah, and that's so common as well. They'll look at an organization, they'll find an owner or someone they want to target, maybe someone who manages the building management system or something like that, building manager. They'll target them, hopefully catch them on an off day so they're not, you know, checking the email, or they'll click a link when they shouldn't, or they'll think, oh, no, that's fine, and do some WhatsApp. But yeah, it is extremely common, unfortunately.
So you did say, so there is the actual like cyber attack part, but then there's also the recovery and the response, which is super important. Once a breach has been identified, what does a normal cyber security response involve?
Yeah, so there's two avenues here. There's what can happen and what should happen. Unfortunately, we see a lot of organisations who haven't prepared for this, who maybe don't have a cyber partner or something. They'll think they can just, you know, go, oh, that's encrypted, let's take that one system down. When someone's breached, and this is what should happen and what I'd recommend to any organization, if you're breached, you need to take anything related to that offline, basically. You don't have to shut it down. Disconnect it from the internet. The first point of call you need to do is you need to kill whoever is doing the attack, their connection to your environment. And what they'll have done, they'll have left back doors all over the place as well. So you need to make sure you are stopping the attack as quickly as possible, which can impact your business in the short term, but it will give you better returns in the long term. The next thing you need to do is contain whatever's happening. So whether that be, you know, they're encrypting everything, or they're exfiltrating data, taking data out of the organization, you need to make sure that's contained and isolated in an environment. At that point, you can't be sure you've got it all, but you do need to make sure you've done it to the best of your ability. From that point, you need to be doing your investigations and your forensics. There's excellent forensic partners out there, and you'll need this from an insurance point of view as well, if you're going to need your insurance at any point. One thing I would say as well, that unfortunately some companies can do, and they forget about this, you need to maintain the evidence as well. So whether that's a big breach like I'm talking about, or whether that's some email like that's been sent to a financial director or whatever and they've paid a bill, always keep the evidence in the trail, because again, that's going to help you later down the line. Then it's back to recovery. So you've done your investigation, you've done your forensics, you build what we tend to call a sandbox, basically an isolated environment to bring your recovered systems back online. You do that isolated, because probably the attack has been around for a while and they could have left other traps and things like that. So you bring restored data and systems back online, check everything's okay, make sure the forensics have checked them over as well, and then obviously you can get your systems back up and running. Obviously, that's a very high level to talk through a big attack. If it's something along the lines of, like you were saying earlier, someone's connected with someone on WhatsApp, they've sent some information, some money, things like that. They need to maintain the evidence. The biggest thing we tell organizations is to make sure your company understands this isn't a fear thing, a bit like what we were talking earlier. So don't panic, delete things and hope it'll go away. Tell the right people something's happened, and you can get the money back. Usually if you've got insurance, as long as you've got insurance, things like that in place. As soon as someone notices it's happening as well, is shouting up. I should have said that at the start, but that's the most important thing, actually, because, yeah, if someone's noticed something weird on their smart car, someone noticed something weird in a building or something like that and thinks, oh, that shouldn't happen, but goes, oh, you know what, it's fine, or they notice some data starting to get encrypted and don't shout straight away because they're worried they've clicked on something, it can get so much worse.
Which I guess, again, goes really well into the last question, because I was going to say we've talked about a lot about like cybersecurity, what it is, how it happens, opportunities, how it relates to smart cities. But what would the key takeaway be that you would suggest for listeners out of everything we've discussed?
Yeah, so the biggest thing I'd say to everyone, there's a couple of things. It doesn't need to be scary. I'm adding this actually through our conversation. It doesn't need to be scary and something people think is a massive impossible task they can't tackle. It absolutely is, and you need to tackle it head on. But the other things I was going to say, I said this earlier on, one, you need to protect your organization, and that's from a people, process, and technology point of view. But also you need to plan. You need to prepare for when something like this is going to happen, because it will happen, and it can mean the massive difference between your organization having massive reputational damage and being offline for weeks, or it can mean your data actually hasn't been taken. Granted, you may have had some disruption, but it's for a number of days, if that. Yeah, it's the two things. It isn't just thinking, I can lock the doors and I'll be fine. It's the preparing for when it happens as well.
Lovely. So my final question, which is, how can people connect with you and learn more?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. So I'm Charlie Hills on LinkedIn. If people can find me that way, we've got our website, which is waterstones.com.au. And that's Waterstones, W-A-T-E-R-S-T-O-N-S. Or you can email me, charlie.hales@waterstones.com. And happy to share information. This is something we're really passionate about as a business. So anyone who wants to, you know, to chat about things, to bounce ideas around, to talk about how we can improve things for Australia, then please get in touch.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Charlie. Super interesting conversation about how cybersecurity can actually leak beyond computers in the physical sense that we normally think about with phones and desktops, and kind of more into city infrastructure.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me, Emily. It's been really good. It's great to talk about this.
If you'd like to learn more about any of the guests that we have on the podcast, more about Bitesize, or more about Compass IoT, the company that produces this podcast, you can visit our website, which is www.compassiot.com.au. Until next time.